Hey, good morning, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Ksubas Daf Hey. We are picking up on Daf Dalil Amid Beis, a couple of lines from the end of the page. Amar Mar, Ben Kach Uben Kach. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children. It is also sponsored anonymously with Chusuf Shlema for Esther Basara. It is also sponsored by the Shulman family for the 40th yard site of Mr. Bernard Shulman, Dov Ber Ben Yitzchak Isaac. This is the Chronon Brach and the Neshama Shem Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. And I thank you all for joining me on this Zoom this morning. And I apologize that I keep changing the times of the various shiurim. So we are going to discuss today the concept of why it is that one is not allowed to have bia at the first time on Erev Shabbos, nor on Motzei Shabbos. Erev Shabbos means Friday night. So the Gemara is going to first discuss the concept of making cheshbonos shel mitzvah. The reason that it's asra motzoi Shabbos is because you're not supposed to make cheshbonos, and the Gemara is going to talk about making cheshbonos shel mitzvah on Shabbos, and the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that an almana gets married dafka b'yom ha-chamishi, and if a basula gets married on yom ha-revi'i, is it okay for the basula to have bia also on yom ha-revi'i, or does that have to be on lel chamishi? And then once the Gemara is going to discuss various Divrei Agada from Bar Kapara, in that context we're going to bring other Divrei Agada from Bar Kapara, namely about the value of the Maisi Adayim of Tzadikim, how it even surpasses the value of the Maisi Adayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and we're going to discuss what a person should do if they hear Lashon Hara, they hear things that they shouldn't be hearing. How does one close their ears in order to prevent themselves from hearing such things? And then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis the question of Bia B'tchila B'Shabbos. It's going to begin the sugya of having Bia for the first time on Shabbos, and that's going to touch upon many different sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos, many fundamental sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos in general, about Davar Sheino Miskaven and Mekalkel B'Chabura and things of that nature. So let's begin again. We're going to pick up on Daf Dalet and Beis, a couple lines, two lines from the end of the page. So Amar Mar, we had said, Ben Kachu Ben Kach, whether a person is an Anus that Meis Av Shal Chasan, and therefore he has to get married early, or whether it was not an Anus, he's getting married at the right time on Wednesday. Lo Yival, Lo Be'erev Shabbos, V'lo B'Motzai Shabbos. We had mentioned in the Braisa, which the Braisa was only brought not for this line, the Braisa was brought for the other lines, but nevertheless, in terms of defining Ones, but nevertheless, we mentioned in the Braisa that regardless of when you get married, the very first bia should not be on Erev Shabbos, which means Friday night, nor should it be on Motzai Shabbos. So says Mar Bish, Be'erev Shabbos Mishum Chabura. I understand very well that an Erev Shabbos shouldn't have your first bia because that's going to make a wound in the woman, and that is considered to be a violation of a malacha. Now, the Gemara makes that sound like that's such a davar pashut, but we're going to see at the end of the daf that is anything but a davar pashut, meaning there's a major sugya about whether there's in fact a violation of making a chabura. It's going to go on for quite some time, that sugya about bia b'tchila b'shabbos. But the Gemara takes it like for granted. Yeah, I at least see what the issue is, whether the issue is going to actually pose a problem lahalacha. Okay, that's going to be an analysis. But I see what the issue would be in having bia with the basula for the first time on Shabbos. El Motzai Shabbos, am I low? But why can't you have bia for the first time on Motzai Shabbos? Some Rabbi Zeira Mishum Cheshbonos. Because if you get married on Motzai Shabbos, you're going to end up making the su'uda on Motzai Shabbos. If you have bia the first time on Motzai Shabbos, you can make a su'uda on Motzai Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you're going to think about the expenses of the su'uda and how much food you're going to have to prepare. And you're not allowed to make such cheshbonos on Shabbos. So the haflah is medayik from Rashi over here that the su'uda in question must be a su'udas nisuin. And when the Braisa says lo yival, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to do bia on Motzei Shabbos. It means you're not allowed to have nisuin on Motzei Shabbos. But if you, let's say, you got married on a different day and you still have not yet had bia, then you are allowed to have bia on Motzei Shabbos because the su'uda was already done. And that's what it seems like from a number of Rishonim, that when we talk about Shema Yishcha Benof later in the sugya, that if you already got married and you made Yisuda, then you're allowed to have Bia Motzai Shabbos, and the Braisa is simply talking about the Yisur Nisuin, because otherwise it would be very difficult to understand what kind of Cheshbonos and Su'uda are you making for having Bia Rishona. There's no Su'uda in honor of the Bia. That would be terribly non-sanua for a couple to advertise and make a Su'uda in celebration of the first Bia. However, Tosos and Amid Beis is and the Achronim are medayik from Tosfos that apparently they did make a su'uda after the Bia Rishona, and that's the su'uda that we're talking about, that you're not allowed to make cheshbonos. And even if you got married on a different day, the very first time they would have Bia, they would in fact make a su'uda. That's how the Achronim are medayik from Tosfos on Amud Beis Dibra Maschil Mahu. So where's the Dibra Maschil Mahu? So the Dibra Maschil Mahu, the second Tosfos on the page on Amud Beis. So anyway, but the point is that you're not allowed to be on for the first time Motzai Shabbos. The Gemara says because of Cheshbonos. So I'm like Abayis says to Rabbi Zeira, but the Cheshbonos Shal Mitzvah Miasiri isn't the Suda. Let's assume like Rashi for a moment that it's Sudas Nisuin. Isn't that a Sudas Mitzvah? And aren't you allowed to make Cheshbonos that relate to a Mitzvah? For Rav Chisav Rav Nun and Amri Tarvayu Cheshbonos Shal Mitzvah. That you're allowed to make cheshbonos of a mitzvah. You need to figure out how to raise money for pidyon shvuyim, how to raise money to build the shul, and how to raise money to host all the guests in the community. Any type of mitzvah like that, you're allowed to do such cheshbonos on Shabbos. V'amar b'lazar poskin tzedakah l'aniyim on Shabbos. Not only are you allowed to be machashev on Shabbos how much you need for aniyim, you're allowed to be posik tzedakah, that you're allowed to designate how much you're going to give to each and every ani on Shabbos. V'amar b'yakov that you're allowed to go examine the matters of the public, of the community, even though you're normally not allowed to use batik nesios and batik midrashos for chulin needs. You're only supposed to use batik nesios and batik midrashos for davening and for learning. But nevertheless, you're allowed to use batik nesios and batik midrashos to be mefakeach l'skei rabim b'shabbos. And so it's a double chiddush that you're allowed to use these locations for this purpose, and that you're allowed to do it even on Shabbos. V'am Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidiyah Rabbi Yochanan mefachin pikuach nefesh b'shabbos. You're allowed to speak about pikuach nefesh, about saving people's lives on Shabbos, even though it's not a Shabbos-related activity, but these are divrei mitzvah, and for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to do these things on Shabbos. V'am Rashol Bar Nachman Yom Rabbi Yochanan hochul tatios l'karkios l'fakayach l'skei rabim b'shabbos. You're allowed to go to the various theaters and amphitheaters and stadiums to deal with public matters, to deal with needs of the community on Shabbos. So even though normally you're not even allowed, the Gemara Novel Dezar says Daf Yuches and Beis, you're not even allowed to go to such places during the weekdays because it says Ubederech Hatayim Lo Amad Ubemoshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. So we see that that's considered a Moshav Leitzim. That's the question: whether you're allowed to go to stadiums Bismaneinu? Are we talking about stadiums only where they were killing people and there was terrible violence? What about stadiums where they're just hitting a ball with a bat, and you know, there's the smell of fresh grass and everything else that you have in a stadium environment nowadays? So that's a question of halacha, whether that's a violation of Moshav Leitzim to go to such a stadium. But you're allowed to go if they rent out the stadium for a Sima Shas, if they rent out the stadium for the Mefakeach Haliske Rabim, that you're allowed to do. V'tanu de Beminashi Meshachon Al Tinokos Li Aris B'Shabbos. You're allowed to have your Shidduch Club meeting on Shabbos. V'al Tinok Lamdo Sefer Lamdo Umnos. And you're allowed to discuss how to teach your child Torah, or how to teach him a trade, because these are all divrei mitzvah. The Rashi notes the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes tells us that Av Chayiv Lalamid Espino Torah, and he's Chayiv Lalamid Espino Umnos, he's Chayiv Lasio Isha. So all of these things we're identifying in the Mishnah as divrei mitzvah. By the way, Agav in that Brisa in Kiddushin Chav Tes, the Gemara says the Brisa says V'yeish Omrim Af Lashito Benohar, that a father also has to teach a child how to swim. It's interesting that in this Gemara it doesn't say that one of the things you're allowed to discuss on Shabbos is how you're going to hire a lifeguard to teach your child how to swim, even though that does get listed at least as a Yesh Omrim in that Gemara over there. It's fascinating. I'm giving a Temin Alach share on this topic later today about the chiv of a father to teach his child to swim. It's fascinating that that line of teaching a child to swim is very famous, yet it does not appear in the Rambam, it does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch, it does not appear in the Rif, it does not appear in the Rush, it does not appear in the Magen Avram, it doesn't seem to be quoted la halacha. So it seems that la halacha, a father is not obligated to teach a child to swim, and that's borne out by our sugya. Our sugya mentions all the other items in the Braisa that you're allowed to discuss those things on Shabbos, even though you're obviously not going to actually teach him a trade on Shabbos, but you're allowed to discuss how to teach him a trade on Shabbos. So you're, and yet it does not mention discussing to teach him how to swim. But all of this is all parenthetical. The whole point is just to say that why should it be also to make cheshbonos about your su'udas nisuin on Shabbos? After all, su'udas nisuin, su'udas mitzvah, and you're allowed to make cheshbonos of mitzvah on Shabbos. Ella am Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira says this must be a different reason. Why are you not allowed to get married on Matzoy Shabbos? Why are you not allowed to be a rather for the first time on Matzoy Shabbos? Gzeira shami yishchot ben of. We're afraid you might shecht an animal on Shabbos to prepare for that su'udas nisuin that's going to be on Matzoy Shabbos. Amalei Abayi el me'ata. If that's the case, that we're choshesh that because whenever there's a suda on Matzoy Shabbos that you might shecht an animal on Shabbos itself. If that's the case, Yom Kippur Mshchalios B'Sheni B'Shabbos Yidcha Gzeir Shem Yishch Benov. If Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, so we shouldn't allow Yom Kippur to fall on a Monday. We should arrange the calendar in such a way that Yom Kippur will never fall on a Monday, because then it would turn out that Erev Yom Kippur is on Sunday, which means you can have a mitzvah sachila on Sunday, and then we should make the same Gzeira that you might come to Shecht a bird, just like you're not allowed to sudas nisun on Matzai Shabbos. Answers Gemara, no, there's a difference between Erev Yom Kippur falling on Sunday and a wedding on Matzai Shabbos. Hasam dilinaf shei lo tarit. When the Sudas Erev Yom Kippur, that's talking about for you and your own family. So that you're not going to come to shecht the bird. You're not going to be so desperate that you're going to lose yourself and go shecht the bird. But when it's la'acherim, you're preparing a wedding, you're inviting many guests, so that's la'acherim, then a person might come to shecht the bird. Inami, or another reason, is another possible answer, that there's no chiluk between the Suda that you make for yourself versus the Suda you make for others, but very simply, hasa misle ravcha. When it comes to Erev Yom Kippur that falls on the Sunday, you have plenty of time. The Suda does not need to be as soon as Shabbos is over. The Suda could be the next day. But over here, when you're being bold for the first time on Motzai Shabbos, the Suda is going to be on Motzai Shabbos. Once we've come to this conclusion that you don't get married on Motzai Shabbos because of the gzeira that you might come to shecht the bird, and this Erev Shabbos not be gzeira shem yishchol benof, then that could also explain why not have beer for the first time on Erev Shabbos on Friday night, because if we're concerned you're going to shecht the bird when your suit is going to be after Shabbos, for sure we should be concerned you're going to shecht the bird when the suit is going to be on Shabbos. Now there is a Tosus points out Shemi Yishchot Ben Ov, that Yesh Garsim Bo Ov, not Ben Ov, but Bo Ov. Because why would it be the son of a bird? The son of a bird is typically a bird, right? So says Tosos, no, Bo on Shabbos and Ov. And Tosos says, well, wait a second, is Shabbos a Bo or a Ba? Is Shabbos Lashon Zachar or Lashon Nekeva? So Tosos says it's both. We find Kala Osa Bo Malacha Shomer Shabbos Mechalulo, even though we also find Mechaleha Mosima. So we find Shabbos sometimes is used as Lashon Zachar and Lashon Keva. But Tosfos says, I don't really have a problem with the girsa of Ben Of either, because Ben Of implies a baby bird. And since it's very soft and very easy to shecht, that's where it's very likely that a person could just shecht it so quickly without even catching himself and without thinking and without realizing that he's doing so on Shabbos. So that's what the gzeira is, that you'll come to shecht a Ben Of. Now Tosfos discusses, the Gemara had said, well, if that's the case, that you're not allowed to have a su'uda on Motzai Shabbos, because then you're going to, if you're not allowed to suda Motzai Shabbos on account of the fact that you might shecht the bird, well, why can Erev Yom Kippur fall on Sunday? So Tosfos says, you know, it's strange that we pick Yom Kippur falling on Monday, Erev Yom Kippur falling on a Sunday, as if that is the most likely time that you're going to come to shecht an animal. There is a Mishnah Maseches Chulin that tells us that sometimes when you sell animals, you have to let it be known whether the mother or the offspring of that animal was sold that same day, because you have to make the assumption that everybody is shechting animals that day. So whoever's buying it is going to shecht it that day. And there is an isser that you're not allowed to shecht the mother and the offspring on the same day. And when that Mishnah identifies the times of year that you need to let people know about that, Erev Yom Kippur is only one shita in Tanoim. There are other times a year that are much more likely that people are going to shecht on that day. So why would we identify Erev Yom Kippur and not any of the other times where it's much more likely that people are going to shecht? So it says Tosos Yeshlomer de Erev Yom Kippurim Hayirugilin laharbos ba'ofos ubedagim. Because specifically when it came to ofos, that was more likely than Erev Yom Kippur. When it comes to behemos, that could be in those other times of the year. But in Erev Yom Kippur, that was the time that they would have a lot of ofos. Now there is a discussion in the Achronim, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, does that apply even on the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Meaning if Erev Yom Kippur is a Sunday, does the mitzvah to eat already start applying on Motzoi Shabbos? So the Bir Agra brings a raya from our sugya, because our sugya said that the difference between Erev Yom Kippur falling on Sunday versus having a Sudas Nisun on Matzoi Shabbos is Islei Ravucha. When it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, you have plenty of time. There's no rush. So there's no rush. That implies that you don't have to eat until the next day. So the Birkei Yosef is a medayik from the fact that the Ramah says that we're marbe beslichos on Erev Yom Kippur. So that tells you that that the night before is not a Yom Tov, because then you wouldn't be Marba Beslichos. But therefore the Chiyuv to eat, which has a din like a Yom Tov, would be on only the daytime and not the nighttime. So that's a question whether our Gemara is necessarily a Raya. Maybe Islei Ravcha just means that there's no pressure to eat that night, but it's also included in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. But that is the discussion based on our Gemara. So now says the Gemara Vaiter, Ibayaluhu, Basula Nisus Bervi Viniv Elas Berviv Loch Shin the Kray Daita. When we say Basul gets married on Wednesday, does that mean they could even have Bia on that Wednesday and we don't have to worry that he's gonna calm down in the interim and that he's not gonna go to Basin? Oh, don't know Basul Nis Bervi Viniv Elas Bechamishi, the Khashin the Kray Daita. Or maybe Basul gets married on Wednesday and has Bia for the first time on Chamishi, and has been for the first time on Chamishi, because we are Choshish for a Kriya Daita. So says Gemara Tashema, we'll bring a Raya from a Braisa. Titani Bar Kapara, Besul Nisei's Perviv, Nivellus Bechamishi, Ha'il, Venem Rabo Brach Ledagim, that Besul should get married on Wednesday and Dafka have the first Bia on Thursday. Why Dafka on Thursday? Because that's where the Torah, on Thursday is where the Torah, when the Torah identifies a particular bracha of Puruvu when it comes to fish. It says, Vayivarach Hashem Elokim Lemar, Puruvu ul'u es hamayim bayamim. Salmana nisus b'chamishi v'nivellus b'shishi, hal nemru b'brach la'adam. An almana gets married on Thursday and has bia for the first time on Friday, because that's when there's a bracha of Puruvu for people, because the Torah says, Vayivarach Hashem Elokim bayom lehem Elokim, Pru urvu umilus haaretz v'kiv shua. So time amishum bracha sounds like the reason the besula has bia for the first time on Thursday is only in eitzah tova for the sake of bracha av mishum mikri daita lo chashinan. But as far as halacha is concerned, do we have to be choshesh that he's going to calm down and he's not going to come to Beis Din and that's going to be problematic? No, apparently we're not concerned about that, and therefore that's our answer. If we raise the question, do you have to worry about a kri daita if they have bia too early on Wednesday? The answer is no, we have no such concern. The only reason we recommend Bia on Thursday is simply because of the Eitzah Tova of taking advantage of a time of Bracha. Iach, if that's the case, that the Braisa holds that the reason Basul has Bia on Thursday is not because he might calm down, but rather because of Bracha Ledagim, then an Almana should also be on Thursday because there's a Bracha Ledagim. So it says, Bracha Dadim Adifale, why would the Almana take advantage of a Bracha for Dagim if she has the opportunity to have Bia for the first time on Friday, which would take advantage of a bracha la'adam? It would seem much more advantageous to take advantage of a bracha la'adam, much more beneficial to take advantage of a bracha la'adam, much more so than a bracha l'dagim. The Nami, or another possible reason why an almana has Bia for the first time, dafka on Friday and not on Thursday, mishum shaktu, it's because the Chachamim wanted to make sure that the almanos are being taken care of by their new husband. Why is it that the Chazal said that an almana should get married on Thursday and have bia for the first time on Friday? Because if she were to have her first bia on Thursday, like a besula, lemachar mashkim la minasa vahalichlo, the next day the husband's going to go and go straight to work, and he's going to leave his new wife alone. So shaktu cham matkanos benos yisrael, that the cham were concerned for the benos yisrael, sheisameach im hashlosh yam, that the new husband should celebrate with her for 3 days, chamishi b'shabbos, erev shabbos v'shabbos, on Thursday, on Friday, and on Shabbos. Tosfos raised the question, how could we say the reason she has bia on Friday is because of the takana, or in Shishi, which I guess is Thursday night, is because of the takana of Shaktu? The Brisa says beferish that it's because of bracha, that it's because of bracha la adam. So Tos says that the reason of the Brisa is because of takana Shaktu, like it says in another Brisa, and the Brisa just adds that if you're wondering how could Chazal make a takana that's going to cause a loss of the bracha of Puruvu that you have on Yom Chamishi, don't worry about that. There's also a bracha of Puruvu on Yom Shishi. So the Iker reason is really Shaktu. The question then, the other Bryce is just addressing what you must be wondering, how could the Chum make a takana of Shaktu that's going to cost a person the ability to take advantage of a bracha of Puruvu? So that's why the other Bryce says, no, there is a bracha of Puruvu on Friday as well. Not only that, it's a better bracha of Puruvu. So that's how Tosos understands. Now says Gemara, my Ika ben bracha, L'shaktu, what is the chilik between the reason of a Bia Salmana on Friday based on bracha versus Bia Salmana on Friday based on shaktu? Meaning either way, that's l'chora what she should be doing, having Bia for the first time on Yom Shishi. So what difference does it make whether the reason is shaktu or whether the reason is the bracha of Puruvu? Tosfos has two interpretations of what exactly the Gemara is asking. One interpretation is, why does it have to give the reason of bracha once it already gave the reason of shaktu? And the other explanation is just the main afkamina, between one answer of the Gemara of bracha dad matifale versus the answer of the Gemara of inami mishum shaktu. So Ika Binayim says Gemara two nafkaminas. One is adam batel. What if you have a person who doesn't have work who gets married to an almana? So if the reason is mishum bracha, it doesn't matter whether you're a working person or not. You still have bia for the first time on shishi because that's when there is bracha. But if the reason is because of shaktu, that we're afraid the guy's going to go off to work, you have no such concern. If the guy doesn't have work to go off to, the Rush Paskins Alach and Simon Gimel that you have to be bowl b'shishi because once Chacham made a takana of shaktu, they made a takana also on account of bracha. So even when shaktu doesn't apply, you still get married on Yom Chamishi and bowl on Yom Shishi mishum bracha. However, the other Rishonim say that it's only Neitzah Tova, but if he wants, he could be bowl even b'yom, he could be bowl even b'chamishi. Inami, another nafkamina is Yom Tov Shchaliyos Rav Shabbos. What if Friday is a Yom Tov, so nobody's going to work anyway? So the guy might be gainfully employed, but there's no concern that he's going to go off to work. So there is no concern of Shaktu, but there still is that matter of taking advantage of the bracha. Now, once we had mentioned that Bar Kapara tells us this teaching, meaning once we have quoted Bar Kapara in this context of taking advantage of bracha, right? That was Bar Kapara's teaching. So the Gemara is going to tell us other agadic statements that Bar Kapara said as well. So Darish Bar Kapara, Gadol Maisa Tzadikim Yosef Maisa Shemayim Va'aretz. That in a certain sense, the Maisa Tzadikim is even greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in creating heaven and earth. Deal with Ma'aseh Shemayim Va'aretz Ksiv, because Ma'aseh Shemayim Va'aretz, the Navi Yeshayahu describes, Af Yadi Yosta Eretz V'Yamini Tipcha Shemayim. So the Eretz and Shemayim were each created with one hand, Yadi, which is singular. V'ilu B'Ma'aseh Yadim Shel Tzadikim, when it comes to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is referred to as the Ma'aseh Yadim Shel Tzadikim Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Shemos Perek Tezvav, Machon Neshiv T'chapalta Hashem Mikdash Hashem Konun Yodecha. So it's Yodecha, it's two hands. So the Marsha explains that the Amin shows us, it teaches us about Midas Arachamim. The small is about Midas Hadin. So the Tzadikim, through their Maasim, are Mitzarif Midas Arachamim with Midas Hadin. So that's why it says the Maase Yedei Tzadikim is with Beis Yadayim, is with both hands. So that was the Mahus of the Beis HaMikdash also, to be Mitzarif Midas Hadin with Midas Arachamim. So that's why we say that it was created with both hands. Whereas Maase Shemayim Va'aretz was only with one hand at a time. But wait a second, one Bavli asked on this question that even when it comes to the Maaser Shemayim Va'aretz, it says Yabeshes Yadov Yatzaru, so it sounds like plural, even when it's Maaser Yadayim Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, says Gemara. No, Yadov Ksiv, it's written Yadov without the Yod. So the Masara of the Pasuk is what we're darshaning, and that it was only one Yad, even though maybe the way it's pronounced is with two yadayim yadav vaksiv yatzaru. But wait a second, how can you say that that's singular? The pasuk says yatzaru in the plural. So Rav Nachum Rei Yitzchak yatzru etzpaosav kedichsev ki erashamecha maase etzpaosecha yerech v'kochav mashar konanta. That even one hand could be referred to in the plural because one hand has many fingers on it, and therefore it's yatzaru. But really, it's still just one hand in terms of the Maase Yadayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maase Yadayim of Tzadikim is two hands. That's the idea of the right hand being the Midas Rachman and the left hand being Midas Adin, is that small doche v'yamin mekareves, right? That the small is doche, the left hand pushes away, that's Midas Adin. The yamin is mekarev, that's the Midas Harachamim. So Meisvei, the Gemara asks in Bar Kapara, it says in Tehillim, Hashemayim misaprim kvod kel, umaisa yadov magid harakia. So it's talking about maisa yadayim shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it says yadov in the plural. So achikamer maisa yadayim shel tzadikim. No, what it means to say is as follows. The maisa yadayim shel tzadikim, who themselves are the maisa yadov of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, mi magid, who's going to be made to the creations on their maisim tovim, harakia. The Rakia is going to be made about the Tzidkus of the Tzadikim. Umaynihu, and how is it going to be made on the Tzidkus of the Tzadikim? Matar, by allowing it to rain, and by having a rain come down. So that's going to cause, that's going to be the Eidus that the Tzadikim are doing their job. Meaning when it rains, it's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, and that the Tzadikim are bringing bracha into the world through their mitzvahs. Darash Bar Kapara, another drasha that Bar Kapara says, so my dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says v'yasei tielecha al azeinecha, that you should take a shovel to dig in the ground to cover up the tzoa, and when you go out to war, and also you have your al azeinecha, that's in addition to your clay zayin, to your weaponry. So al tikri azeinecha, don't read it azeinecha as in your weaponry, ela al oznecha, but on your ears. What does it mean on your ears? Shem yishma adam davar sheino hagun, that if a person hears something that's inappropriate, yaniach etzba'o be'oznav, he should take his fingers and stick them in his ears, not to hear the davar she'eino hagun, not to hear that which is inappropriate. Meaning, all other openings of our body that take something in are also meant to expel. They also send things out. So the ear is the only one that's a one-way street. So the ear is also the only one, that's what the Acharon point out, the ear is also the only one that doesn't have a natural closure. Meaning your mouth, you can close naturally. Your eyes, you can close naturally. So since it's only meant for incoming and not for outgoing, so it doesn't have a natural closure, but there must be some way to close it in order that you don't hear a davar she'eino hagun. I don't know how to account for the nose based on what the Acharon are saying. The nose also doesn't have a natural closure, although I guess one can hold their nose without holding their nose physically. But anyway, that's what we're darshing the pasuk. The pasuk is not at all about the ears on the pashut level, right? It's al azeinecha. The word al also doesn't mean on in the pasuk in the pashut level. It means in addition to. But we're darshaning yaseid, take the little pegs that God put at the end of your hands, namely your fingers, and put them al azeinecha, on oznecha, on your ears. Why is it that Hashem made our fingers shaped like yisedos, like pegs? My taima, what do you mean that our fingers are like pegs? In what sense? If you mean to tell me that they're smooth like yisedos, I'm sorry, that they're that they're split from each other, and that we don't just have like mitten hands, that we have split fingers that are each individualized. So that's not a question. Each one has a Torah purpose in being individually split from the others. Damar Mar, because the Braisa taught us, Zuzeres, starting from the tiniest finger, from the pinky, that's the Zeres, that's the measurement of the Choshen Mishpat. Zu Kemitza, the next one is how we take a Kemitza for the Karban Mincha, right? We take three fingers full, but the bottom finger that holds the flower is the what we call the ring finger. Zu Amma, the middle finger is measured from elbow to the top of the middle finger is the size of an Amma, so that's valuable in Halacha. Zu Etzba, the pointer is the Etzba is used for the Kohen to do the Matan Damim that he does on the Mizbeach. And Zu Godel, and the thumb is used it's what we call the Bohen in the Torah, where you put from the Dam of the Ayil HaMiluim was put on Aaron, and the dam of the Karban Mitzorah is put on a Mitzorah, on the thumb. So you can't say that Reb Lazar is asking, why do we have fingers that are independent of each other, and why don't we just have mitten hands? That's obvious. Each one has their own halachic functioning purpose. So that wasn't his question. Elamat HaMishupos Kiyasedos. His question is that in a stand they need to be individualized from each other, they need to be split from each other, but why are they smooth at the end? Why doesn't he make them pointy-ended, right? Wouldn't that be so much easier if you wanted to eat, if you had pointy-ended fingers, you'd be able to just, like, use it as a fork, you know? And there must be other values to that as well. A screwdriver, if you had pointy-ended fingers, I don't know, there'd be, why did Hashem make them smooth? So, it's so that if you hear something inappropriate, you could take your fingers and put them in your ears without bursting your eardrums. Why is it that the whole rest of the ear is of hard cartilage and there's one part of the ear that's just soft, fleshy part? That if a person hears something inappropriate, he could fold over that part of his ear and put it into his ear to prevent him from hearing things inappropriate. And that's the whole function of that part of the body, because al piteva, the Marsha points out, there is no function of that part of the body, and Hashem doesn't create anything for Larik, nothing is created for nothing, so it must be that Hashem made that part of the ear just to aid us in being able to close our ears. A person should avoid hearing Dvarim B'Telim with his ears, because when it comes to burning in Gehenim, the first part of the body that's going to burn in Gehenim is one's ears, so one should be very careful with their ears. The Marsha point explains that up until this point the Gemara was talking about a Dover Sheino Hagun, which is Duburim Masurim. This price is talking about Dvarim Betalim, things that aren't even actually usser, they're just Dvarim Betalim, and even that a person should be careful to use his ears for a lofty purpose and not just for Dvarim Betalim. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the sugya of the various agaditas of Bar Kapara. Now we go on to the sugya of bia b'tchila b'Shabbos, having bia with the besula for the first time on Shabbos. So a couple of very critical topics in Hilchos Shabbos that are going to come up. We have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in a few places in Masech Shabbos, if a person does a malacha in a davar she'eno miskaven kind of way, where he's not intending to do a malacha, he's doing a different act, but that act may result in a malacha. You drag a chair or a bench on the ground, and it could be by doing so, you're digging a furrow in the ground. You're not intending to do that. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. So Rabbi Yehuda says, usur to do it. Rabbi Shimon says, mutter. Now, if it's going to be a psikration, if it's for sure going to happen, then even Rabbi Shimon would say, it's usur. So that's one topic that's going to come up a lot. Another topic that's going to come up a lot is that there's a klal in Hilchos Shabbos, a kolam akalkalin arpaturin, that whenever a person does a malacha in a destructive kind of way, he's pater, unless it's the malacha of chovel or mavir. That's a machlok with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says chovel and mavir is also pater, that there's no special exception for chovel and mavir. Any malacha, including chovel and mavir, that's done by derech kilkul, you're going to be pater. And Rabbi Shimon holds that you're chayiv for when you do chovel and mavir in a kilkul kind of way. And the understanding is, because normally mekalkel is considered not malachas makshavas, not considered to be the normal way to do that malacha, the productive way to do that malacha. But chovel and mavir, by their very nature, are destructive malachos. So since they are destructive malachos, by their very nature, to burn something, to wound something, so therefore you're going to be chayiv even when you do derech kilkel. So when we discuss bia with the basula on Shabbos, we have to figure out what would the issue even be? Like, what's the question really about? So there are two possible isunim. One is an issue of chovel, that could be that it's like making a wound in the woman because you're causing her to bleed. And the other potential issue is that you're making a pesach, that it's a malacha bona, or perhaps maka bepatish, by making a new opening in the body. So now, says Gemara, ibay lehu, Shabbos. Is one allowed to have bia for the first time on Shabbos? Damif kapakid o chiburi mechbar. Do we assume that the blood is sitting there in a sack in the rechem, but it's not absorbed in the skin? So all you're doing is you're opening up the door to allow the blood to come out, and that would be mutter. Or maybe no, maybe it's like blood that is trapped in the skin itself, and by breaking the skin, you're causing a wound, and that's what's making the blood happen, and that would be aser, and meaning that would be a violation of making chabura. That would be chovel. Vimtim tzlomar damiv kadpaket. And even if you're going to say that it's damiv kadpaket, and therefore there's no chavala, but you are also making an opening. So how do we view that act of making an opening? L'damu tzarech vishari. Do we say, well, that's a davar sheinu miskaven? You're not intending to make an opening. You're just intending to get the blood out, and therefore it's mutter. Odilma l'pesachu tzarech v'asir. Or maybe no. We assume that your main intention actually is to make an opening, and therefore it's aser. And if you're going to say, well, it's dam of kadpaket, so it's not chovel, and your intention is for the dam, and therefore it's a davar sheinu miskaven on the Pesach. So, but we still have a question. Halach Rabbi Shimon davar sheinu miskaven mutar, halach Rabbi Yehuda davar sheinu miskaven aser. What do we hold about a davar sheinu miskaven? It could be that it's a davar sheinu miskaven on the Pesach, but is davar sheinu miskaven Mutter, like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, or is Davar Sheinu Miskaven Aser, like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? V'im Timtzalamar Alach Rabbi Yehuda. And even if you want to tell me that Alach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Aser, Mekalkel Eitzal HaPesach, U'Misakin Eitzal HaPesach. Is this Pesach considered a Mekalkel? Because a Besula is considered more Chashav than a Be'ula. A Besula gets Masayim Zuz, a Be'ula only gets Mana. Or do we assume that it's a Tikkun, that the Pesach that you're making in the woman is a tikkun, because now she's going to be more ready for all other be'ilos throughout the course of their lives together, of their marriage together. So if it's a tikkun, then it's also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar sheinu, who holds a davar sheinu miskaven is aser. But if it's a kilkul, then it's going to be l'chora mutter, even if you normally hold a davar sheinu miskaven is aser, you would say, but if it's mekalkel, it's going to be mutter. So this is all within the possibility of damif kadpakid, that there's no issue of chovel, that the whole issue, if you hold damif kadpakid, that the blood is just gathered in a sack and it's just going to come out all at once, the whole issue is not chovel, the issue is making a Pesach. So the whole line of reasoning, the whole line of questioning was only within that one side, that the malacha in question is asiyas Pesach, which is bone, makabatish, something like that. But ikadamri, there's another version of the whole line of questioning. That vim timsulomar dam chiburi michbar, that maybe we further explore within the possibility that the blood is caught in the skin, which means that you're making a wound, that the violation is one of chovel. So then we could ask, well, the damu tzarech v'aser, are you intending for that blood? In which case it's a davar hameskavein, and it's going to be aser. Odumalanasatz mutzarech v'shari, or maybe during the bia, a person's only intention is to to have pleasure. And therefore, the fact that he's making a wound may be true, but it's a davar sheinu miskaven, and davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. And if you're going to tell me it's a davar sheinu miskaven, and therefore it should be mutter, but is that so pashut? Halacha Rabbi Yehuda or halacha Rabbi Shimon? Maybe we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that a davar sheinu miskaven is aser. And even if you want to tell me that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that a davar sheinu miskaven is aser, mekalkel b'chabura or mesakin b'chaburahu. Maybe you have a different heter over here, and that is the heter of mekalkel. Maybe because it's mekalkel, it's going to be mutter, even if your whole davar sheinu miskaven is aser. And if you're going to tell me, okay, it is mekalkel, and therefore lechora there's more reason to say it's mutter, but mekalkel halach Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to mekalkel, do we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda? Oh, halach Rabbi Shimon, or do we pasken like Rabbi Shimon? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds that just like mekalkel is a het, is a patur. When it comes to all other melachos, it's also a patur when it comes to chovel. So within this shita, that dam chiburi michbar, we're assuming that the melacha in question is chavala. And if you're having kavana for chavala, it's a non-starter, of course it's going to be aser. If you're not having kavana for chavala, so it's davar sheni miskavein. So according to Rabbi Shimon, mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, though, davar sheni miskavein is aser. But if you hold that it's mekalkel, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar sheni miskavein is aser, Rabbi Yehuda also holds mekalkel is going to be pater. So maybe we should hold like Rabbi Yehuda, mekalkel is pater. But maybe no. Maybe we hold like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to davar sheni miskavein, and therefore it's aser. But we hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to mekalkel, and therefore it's still going to be aser, even though it happens to be a kilkel. Now Tosfos has a discussion over here in Dibur Maskel Damiv Karpakel Chiburi Michbar. What exactly the malacha is over here, meaning even if you hold that the issue is that you're making a wound, what's the problem with making a wound? So Tos says it can't be one of tzoveya, that red, you know, that everything becomes red from the blood, because there's no tzoveya on the isha. That's obviously not the issue. So Tos suggests that maybe whenever you draw blood, it's an issue of netilas neshama, that there's a partial netilas neshama. In that context, Tos discusses about taking dam chilazon, and whether that's a violation of netilas neshama, and whether we could use that as a raya here. But we are out of time, so we're not going to have that conversation right now. But Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Bibei Rav, or Itmar Bibei Rav, depending on your girsa, on the top line of Dav Vav and Aleph. I thank you all again so much for accommodating the change of time and coming to learn together this morning. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day.